Do you know that God is for you? Do you know that God is on your side? Do you know that God wants the best for you? It's nice to know that someone strong is in your corner. A little story about that. This is a true story. From several years ago, there was a 13-year-old boy named Naden Corey, and he appeared on a national TV show to share his heartbreaking story about having been bullied by some neighborhood kids. Naden and his family had just moved, I believe it was from Minnesota, into Philadelphia, kind of an inner city part of Philadelphia, and some of the neighborhood kids started to pick on Naden. They started to bully him and chase him around the streets, and then one day a group of teenagers took the bullying way too far. They beat Naden up, and then they hung him up by his jacket on the top of a fence and left him there. One of the attackers, foolishly, decided it would be fun in the midst of all this to videotape it on his phone, to record it and post it on YouTube or wherever, which led the police to arrest the attackers. And it led Naden's story to become a media sensation. And so he was interviewed on this national TV show, and that's when the Philadelphia Eagles got involved. Three players from the team surprised Naden as he was being interviewed on live TV. And they came out and they gave him a signed Eagles jersey. And then they promised him that if those neighborhood kids ever picked on him again, that they would send two linebackers down to that neighborhood and escort Naden wherever he went. It's nice to have someone strong on your side. So let me ask you again, do you know that God is on your side? He is for you. God watches over you, no matter what. Listen to these words of promise from the end of Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible is filled with lots of amazing promises, that our God is a promise-making God, and He is a promise-keeping God. And I think all those promises can sort of be summed up in this passage that tells us that God is for us. God is for us. So I've entitled the sermon, God is for Us. And you might ask, well, then who is the us? Who is God for? Doesn't God love everyone? And yes, of course, God loves all people. Everyone on this earth, God loves everyone. But God also has a special love for His own children. And in biblical language, when we talk about God's children, we're talking about the adopted sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ. When we come to God through faith in Jesus, Scripture tells us that we are adopted into His family. We become His own children. And God has a special love for His children. So God is for us. He is for the followers of Jesus, just as a father is for his kids, just as a mother is for her little ones. God is for us. If you have God on your side, it's even better. It's far better than even two NFL linebackers coming to your rescue. Because you see, God sees everything that ever happens to you. None of it takes Him by surprise. And God is always powerful enough to stand up against anything that stands against us. So we're going to talk this morning about how great it is, what a blessing it is that God is for us. But first, as we look through this passage in Romans 8, we see here that God has already given us evidence. He's already proven that He's on our side. And so we're going to look at that evidence first, and then we'll think about some of the blessings that come as a result of the fact that God is for us. So these words of promise in Romans 8 teach us that God has proven He is for us. And let me share at least four ways from this passage that God has already shown us that He's on our side. The first one is that Jesus died for us. And if you only need one piece of evidence, one proof that God is on your side, it's that His Son died on your behalf. In verse 32 it says, "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all good things?" In other words, if God was willing to give us His own Son, trading His life for ours, then surely God is for us enough to protect us day by day and watch over our coming and going and be with us when things get difficult. If Jesus was willing to die for you, if God was willing to trade the life of His own Son, then certainly He will watch over you. Certainly He will stand at your side when difficulties come your way. The second piece of evidence that God is on our side is that God justifies us. Verse 33, "Who will bring any charge against those God has chosen?" In other words, who will speak against us or say, look at this person, they've done terrible things, they've done wrong things. Which, by the way, might be true. We have done bad things. We are sinners. But then it's the next sentence that we really need to listen to, and that is that it says, "It is God who justifies." And so you ask, well, what does it mean that God justifies us? Well, justify means that God has made us right in His own sight. He has forgiven our sin. He has called us righteous instead of sinful. Not that we aren't sinful, we are sinners. But through Jesus Christ, who died for us, God has taken away our sin. He has made us right. He has justified us by His own choosing and His own will. And so then you might ask, well, how can God just call us righteous? How can He justify us? Well, it's not because we are perfect. It's not because we're good. It's because Jesus died. It's because Jesus paid for our sins. Not that we are perfect, but Jesus' death was the perfect sacrifice on our behalf. And so God justifies us. He makes us right. And if God has called you good and right, which He has through Jesus Christ, then how can anyone else condemn you? How can anyone else say that you're not good? How can anyone else, including yourself, by the way, and I know a lot of people struggle with shame. A lot of people look in the mirror and see there someone who they don't like very much. But if God has said that you are good, how can anyone, including yourself, say that you're not? God justifies us. Another proof is that Jesus intercedes for us. And this is an amazing little passage of Scripture that tells us something maybe you didn't know. I hope you do. I hope you've known this for a long time. People often ask, well, where is Jesus now? What is Jesus doing now? 2,000 years ago He was on the earth, but where is Jesus now? Well, we find the answer in verse 34. It says that Jesus is right now at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. That means that right now Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is watching over your life. He's seeing the struggles that you have. He's aware of the worries that are in your hearts. And he's leaning over to God the Father and whispering, "We need to help him. We need to help her. We see their needs. We need to send the strength and the wisdom and the protection that that person needs." Jesus is asking God right now to take up your cause because he's on your side, because he is for you. And so he prays for you. He's asking God to lift you up when you fall down. He's asking that God would give you strength and courage to face each day. And so be encouraged that Jesus is interceding for you right now. The fourth piece of evidence that God is on our side is that God's love for us is powerful. In fact, it's more powerful than the things that we face or the things that threaten us in this life. Verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" This powerful love that God has for us through Jesus Christ. Shall trouble separate us? Or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? And then you skip down to verse 37 to find the answer. No. In all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. God's love for you is powerful. Now, the world may throw a lot at us. It does. The enemy delights in attacking Christians. And we see that often. People sometimes hurt us. Sometimes the people around us make life hard. But none of those things, none of the things that oppose you, can ever sever that bond that holds you to God through Jesus Christ and His love. Because that bond has been sealed by the blood and by the grace of Jesus Christ. God's love is stronger by far than any trouble or hardship or suffering that you face. And so none of those things, no matter how hard life gets, and it does get hard sometimes, but that doesn't mean that God has stopped loving you. And it doesn't mean that any of those hardships can take you out of God's hand. Because He loves you today and He will love you for all eternity. So those are some of the ways that God has proven that He is for us. And I hope you believe that. I hope you believe those evidences of Scripture, that God is on your side. And I hope you trust that you can take hold of the promise that God has made, that He is for you. And so as we think about that, I want to also highlight some of the tremendous blessings that flow from God's love. Because God is on your side, He brings good things into our lives. Because God is for us, He blesses and protects us. And so I want to share from, again, this passage in Romans 8, five ways. Maybe you'll find more as you read through this. I know as you read through other parts of the Bible, you'll find other ways. But I want to share at least five ways that God blesses and protects us because He's on our side. And the first is that God stands with us when others oppose us. God stands with you when others stand against you. In verse 31, it says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" It's a rhetorical question, because we know the answer, right? If God is for us, no one can oppose us. No one can stand against us, because no one else is as strong as God is. And even when the difficult things come our way, we know that God's stronger. Our culture's opinion of the church today, the world's opinion of followers of Jesus, is at an all-time low, at least in our nation. People ridicule the teachings of Scripture. People tell us that if you don't accept the ways of the world, then, then you don't belong. And I guess we could say, yeah, you're right. We don't really belong in the world. We belong in the kingdom of God. We live in the world. People tell us if you don't go along with what the culture teaches today, then you Christians should just keep your mouths shut. And to some degree, we do. Sometimes that's wise, but other times it's wise to speak up. Speak up for the truth of God. So today we might feel intimidated. We might even feel fearful. It hurts to be rejected. It hurts to be told that what we believe is foolish or backward or old-fashioned or doesn't belong in the world anymore. And so we need to be reminded that God is for us. God stands with us. As we stand on His Word, God stands with us. As we proclaim His truth, God stands at our side. And so we find strength in the presence and the power of God's Holy Spirit who lives among us. And we speak the truth in love. And we hold out the good news of Jesus Christ. And it is good news, even if some people reject it or are offended by it. We are not ashamed of the gospel. We are not ashamed of the truth of God's Word. All of it. Even those passages that challenge us. We read it and teach it all, and we don't hide any of it. And we trust that God will protect us and that He will stand with us even when the culture around us opposes us. The second one is that God blesses us with the good things that He knows we need. Because God is for us, we can trust that He will bless us. And He'll bless us in the ways that He knows are good for us, are right for us. Again, verse 32, God sent Jesus into the world to die for us. And so, of course, He will also give us other good things now in our own lives. God graciously gives us all the things that He knows we need. All the things that we need to honor and follow Jesus. You remember that Jesus once told His disciples, it's recorded in the Gospel of John, as Jesus was there in the upper room, knowing that He would soon be hanging on the cross, and He said to His disciples, ask for anything in My name and it will be given to you. And it's another one of those amazing promises that God has made us. Ask for anything that you want in My name. Now, we need to hear both halves of that sentence. Ask for anything you want. That sounds wonderful, but don't forget, in the name of Jesus, in My name. That is, if we ask for something that is in God's will, that is under the authority of God, anything that will serve the purposes of God, anything that God wants for us, if we ask for it, then Jesus has promised He will give it to us. And Jesus also said, sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. And so we put those two promises together and we say, if God is for us, which He is, then of course He will bless us with good things when we ask for them. Whatever we desire for the sake of the kingdom, whatever we need to serve God's will, whatever we ask for that will honor Jesus, God is pleased to give us. Because God's for us. A third blessing is that God calls us righteous when others condemn us. And we've already touched on this a little bit, but let me read again at the end of verse 33. It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. No one can condemn us if God has already justified us. They may reject us. They may reject the teaching of the church. But no one in this world, no one has authority to condemn the children of God. We belong to the King. We belong to the Lord Almighty. We belong to Jesus Christ who died for us. And so God calls us His children. And God is for us. And he declares us to be righteous because of Jesus' death on our behalf. And after all of that, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what others might say about us. It doesn't matter how they may oppose us. Because God is for us. The fourth blessing is that God gives us strength to conquer every enemy. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And you might ask, well, what is it that we conquer? How do we gain victory? The word conquer here is also the same word that in other passages in the Bible we read about overcoming in Jesus' name. That we overcome those things that oppose us. We conquer them. We gain victory through Jesus in His name and in His power. We defeat anything that tries to keep us from following Jesus and serving the will of God. We overthrow any power that threatens God's promises. We conquer any force of evil or darkness, anything that seeks to capture our hearts and take us away from God. We can conquer in the name and in the power of Jesus and for His glory. And we hold fast to that promise, especially when we feel the opposition of the world around us. That we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. The final promise is that God holds us close forever. And this is a promise that is true today, but it will be true also for all eternity. God holds us close forever. You see, Satan tries hard to snatch us from God's hands, and we may not think about that very often. We may not talk about Satan's work in the world. We probably don't talk about it as much as we should or remember it as often as we should. But the truth is that Scripture tells us there is an enemy who opposes us, and ultimately that enemy is not other people. That enemy is Satan and his dominion of darkness that brings evil into this world. And Satan wants nothing more than to first keep people from coming to God through Jesus Christ. And then second, for those who have found Jesus, Satan wants to snatch us away from God. So that we spend eternity with Him in hell rather than with God in heaven. That's what Satan desires. He wants us to experience the same fate that he's been condemned to. The world also tries to lure us away from God with its empty promises. But the truth of Scripture and the promises of God tell us that if we place our faith in Jesus Christ, if we trust in the One who is for us and who is mighty and strong, then we also can know for sure that God will never let us go. And Satan will never be able to take us away from God's mighty hands. And so this promise is summarized as Paul is writing here. I said this last week, Romans chapter 8 is one of the most important chapters in all of Scripture. And it finishes with these words as Paul is writing. And it sort of becomes a poem, a song of assurance of God's love in our lives. And Paul writes, "For I am convinced, I have faith. I am absolutely sure. There is no doubt in my mind that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. Nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And that is the promise that God has made us and that we rejoice in today. So let me invite you to bow your heads and we'll give thanks. Lord, we do praise You and give You thanks today for the promises that we read here, that You are for us, that You hold us close, that You love us, that Jesus died and rose again for us, that You give us good things, that You give us strength even when others oppose us, that You call us righteous. Lord, these are amazing promises. Teach us, remind us of these promises, and give us the strength to hold fast to them. Lord, whatever comes our way, give us the strength to depend on You. And Lord, we pray that as we trust in You, that You would show Yourself again and again to be a mighty and a loving God. Lord, we thank You for Your grace. And I pray that You'd help us to walk with confidence and faith in the promises that You have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.